Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. My name is Greg Williams right here in Houston, Texas, and it's great to be with you tonight on this December 14th. Believe it or not, we are in the middle of December, a couple of weeks away from the end of the year, and it's just hard to believe. You know, my grandpa used to always tell me, whenever you get a older, the time's going to go faster and faster and faster. And I was just like, oh, Grandpa, you know, but it does. It seems like you turn around. And I was at Marshall's the other day doing some Christmas shopping. And I looked on the end cap there back. I always go to the journal sections because I love journals. And it's back there on the end cap. And on the end of one of the aisles was a whole bunch of Valentine's Day stuff. And the lady was standing there to work there. I said, are you kidding me? Valentine's Day, and here it is. And she said, we are required 2 months in advance to put that stuff out. So people are already thinking about Valentine's Day. At church, I have a little thing going on in the announcements a couple of weeks ago. We talked about Thanksgiving with Sally of the Peanuts and Snoopy and Charlie Brown comic strips. And she's screaming, Thanksgiving? How can we be thinking about Thanksgiving? I haven't finished my Halloween candy yet. And it's almost like that. How can we think about Valentine's Day when we haven't even paused enough to enjoy, understand, soak in Christmas? And I'll tell you what, next week I am really anticipating. I'm the lone guest for the rest of the month. It's hard to get people during the holiday seasons, and I understand that. But next week, we're going to be talking about the real Christmas story, and we're going to focus in on that in a nice, special way. So I welcome you to come back to next week, 8 o'clock Central Time, live from Houston. So we'd love to have you here with us. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about a couple things as we go into the holidays and trying to give you some tools and tricks and things in your tool belt emotionally to be able to handle what you're going to be facing this coming week. If you have any ideas, any questions, any concerns, any comments, I would love for you to call in, connect with Thomas right there. And if you get to really know him, you can call him TJ at 888-627-6008, and he will patch you right through to me tonight, and we can just chat whatever's on your mind. How do you get through the holidays? How do you deal with stress and anxiety and the emotions of just naturally what happens in our world during this time? And we're going to break it down. I think I have like two or three pages of stuff about the holidays. But first of all, I want to tell you kind of what I've been dealing with this week and some things that I've learned. And I just want to share with you. Then I'll kind of slowly transition into the rest of the thoughts tonight. But yesterday I was on doing a training for a group in Florida. And it was an awesome group, and we had a great time, and hopefully we have some new listeners tonight from there. As we was talking about what goes on with us as children affects how we deal with everything in life as adults. So if you're 25, 35, 45, and I can just keep on going up the ladder to 100 and even more. Dick Van Dyke is 100, by the way. I've been watching the Dick Van Dyke marathons. He turned 100 yesterday or today. And no matter how old you are, what happened to you as a child affects you and intercepts and kind of migrates the way we think, perform, plan, not plan, deal with Christmas. Matter of fact, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. I have contacted Dick Van Dyke, one of the people that I, before I die, I want Dick Van Dyke on the show. I think he may be too old now, but he does a lot of, I contacted him and his wife contacted me back, but saying that he's really not taking interviews, especially these kind. He'll probably go on CNN or Fox Network or the big guys, but he has a story from his life that affects him and he turned it around. So there's always hope. And that's why I'm hoping that there's still a chance for me in the world that I've lived in. But I want to let you know what happened to me as a kid affects me right now as an adult, 57 years later, as I'm 62, and how I deal with Christmas, how I perceive it, how I like it, dislike some parts, love some parts. And as a pastor, it's really hard for me to try to balance the emotions of myself into what people need emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, mentally, how they need to be able to counterbalance that. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. And give you a chance to be able to jot some things down. But do you have a thought? You can get on Shattered by the Darkness webpage right here. Looks like, let me upload here. Maybe we are on there. Let me see. Oh, yep, we are. There I am. And you can get on there, comment if you want during the commercial break at the bottom of the hour. I'll check that. You can also 832-396-6525 is my personal cell phone number. Text me on that, 832-396-6525. I get quite a few texts during the show. Text me your question, or better yet, let me talk to you face to face. You won't be online, but your voice will. And we'll be able to talk, and you can have a thought about what we're talking about, or maybe a way that you've learned how to handle the holidays in a special way that can help us all out. And to share your wisdom tonight with me, and it'll help me fill up the hour also. You know, this week, let me be honest with you. Not that I'm dishonest with you any other time. The closer I get to Christmas, because of what's happened to me, I can feel the tension. I can feel, I'm looking to see if I don't have one. I can feel the rubber band inside of me start stretching. And in that stretch, some days I feel like I'm just going to pop. And things are busy at the office. Things are crazy at church because this is the busiest time of the year. And I have to, even though I'm really bad at it, I have to check my emotions. And this week, I didn't do very well with that. I would go up and then down. And then I'd be low. And I'd be low for so long. And then I kind of have a pick-me-up day. And I wrote some things down that I want maybe to share with you. And when I sign books at my book tables after I speak, about half the time, if we talk about Christ in the sessions, I will sign my name And I'll always sign underneath my name this scripture, John 10:10. And it says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. In that, there's a reason that Christ says, I have come. So since he came to give me something that would allow me to be able to deal with something better than I would be able to without him. Listen to the verse again. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm not asking you to edit the scripture, but personalize it. Jesus has come so that you can have life and that you can have it to the utmost, to the abundance, to the best that it can be, to better than you would ever anticipate if I lean on to him. But when I try to tap into my own resources, I fall so short. I'm so bad at it sometimes. And I want to just give you 5, 6, 7 thoughts, little baby steps on how to deal with the emotions that's going up on here in that gray matter that we call a brain that has been engraved, tampered with, smashed at times, abused, betrayed, neglected by other people in our lives, all throughout our lives. And what do we do with what's left? First thing, I need to accept that having those negative thoughts in my life is harmful to me, for my mental, my spiritual, my physical, my relational health. If God wants me to have life more abundantly, then to achieve that, I need to be able to guard my heart and my mind as much as I can against all those negative emotions. And then guard it from the outside. Try to keep things from coming in from the outer to the in. But you know, that doesn't seem to be my biggest enemy. My biggest enemy, and see if y'all know this or not, if you relate, seems to be what I tell myself that comes inside of me from within, and then it becomes experienced. So it's not so much of guarding the outside, although I try, but it's what I end up doing to myself, saying to myself, believing or not believing, talking down about myself, not feeling good about who I am and what I've done. And I need to recognize and just acknowledge that if I keep doing that, it's going to be dangerous to me. It's going to be harmful to every part of my being, of my existence. Number two, I need to identify any negative feelings, and I need to dispense them in the right direction. So I need to give them over to the one that says, I've come to give you a better life. So I need to be able to gather them and then say, here you go. A lot of people do this with therapists. A lot of people do this with counselors. A lot of people do this with clergy. I'm going to let you know, a lot of people text me, call me, email me personally, face to face. I'll meet a lot of people. They'll tell me problems and say, hey, Greg, what can I do about it? And in all reality, I have suggestions and I try to share them on the program all the time. And they're not great wisdom. It's what has helped me because I'm still damaged goods, but it's helped me get through the week. That's why this little first portion of the program each week is important to me. This is what I had to deal with this week. Maybe you can relate. Okay. So I need to acknowledge, but also identify which feelings are negative. Grab them and then hand them off. Speaking of handoff, I've been watching football. Yeah, the Texans did it, 40-20. Dallas looks like they're winning a little bit. Kansas City blew it. A lot of good football this weekend, and you're going to keep getting better. But that handoff, once that quarterback hands off the football, his job's over. He just sits back and lets the other guys take the work and sits back and watches. When we hand off our problems to God, and he's our quarterback, so we kind of have the scenario, and it's just now coming to me. He said, I haven't worked through this. But when we hand off that ball of emotions, those negative thoughts that damages us, and we hand it off to him, then we don't need to have anything else more to do with it. We can just watch what he does, how he handles it. The rest of it is in his control. But it's almost like taking the same scenario, and I don't know if it's going to work because this is all coming off the top of my head. But if the quarterback hands off the ball and then chases the running back that he handed the ball off to, and then tries to get the ball back, says, wait, I want it back. Let me finish my job. It's not going to be pretty. And everybody in the stands is going to go, what? What are you doing? Are you crazy? We do exactly the same thing with our emotions, those negative opinions, those negative thoughts. We pretend to hand it off. We'll lay it at the altar and pray about it. We say amen. We pick it back up, put it in our briefcase, and go home. Put it back in our backpack and take it with us to the car. We pray about it in bed and wake up and take it to the office with us. Hand it off and let it be off. Get it out of where you are and let him that came to give us life more abundantly. That's why Christmas is so important. That gift, if he came to help us, to save us, but to also allow us to experience not only spiritual life, but life on earth with him in control. Another thing is recognize that it's possible to exert control over your emotions. Well, that's just the way I am. That's the way my mom was. That's the way my dad is. I'm just like him. I can't control it. I always mouth off. Oh, that's the bloodline. I got some Italian in me. Oh, that's just the way Italians are. You have control over that. Same way with depression. If you believe that you have no control, you're wrong. Of your emotions. You do. Every now and then, you have to literally make the choice. Today, I'm going to do this. Today, I'm going to lean in to this. Today, I'm not going to let that take me over. This week, I'm going to try to stay positive. If I know that Christmas is really not so great for me emotionally, then I need to start gearing up for that. Put extra positivity and fuel in my tank. If I know, I take a lot of speaking engagements up north Texas? I'll say yes before I ever even look up the city in Texas on the map. And then about a couple of days before the trip, I'll accept it 6 months down the road. And then about a couple of days before I actually have to go speak, I'll go, okay, where is Lubbock? And you look it up on the map and go, oh, whoa, I should have looked that up. I got a lot of driving to do. And I'm smart enough now because I went to Abilene and Lubbock and all those places up there so many times speaking. I'm getting ready to go back up first week of January. That I know that once you get off the interstate and you're on that two-lane highway, you better have your tank filled with gas. And you better go to the bathroom before you get on those dark two-lane roads. It only has one lane going each way because you won't see anything. You won't see a house or a barn for a long time in some of those areas. See a lot of deer. So you better have your tank full. Same way when we know we're going into a season that if it causes you, it automatically leans into, oh, Christmas always does this to me. It just cleans my attic, cleans my plow. I just can't deal with it. Then start filling your tank now. And we're going to talk about that a little bit after the commercial break. You also need to understand that emotions are highly contagious. You thought COVID was contagious? Emotions make it look sick. You can be having a zippity-doo-dah day and somebody come in with that downer, Debbie Downer attitude, and within seconds, you're moaning and groaning right along with Debbie Downer. Unless you make a conscious effort to take control of your thoughts and emotions, other people will sneak in and hijack yours. They'll take him over, and you won't even know what hit you. Another one. Every time I say this, I'll get texts. Putting up my phone now and just making, not putting it up and I'm looking, waiting for it to start going off. Here we go. To forgive. I know. Because I hear it. You don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what my mom put me through. You don't know how they kicked me out when I was 12 years old, or whatever story it is. Those are real emotions. Those are real feelings. Those are real hurts and real wounds. Nobody's saying that. I have them all over my body too, physically and emotionally. But not forgiving has never healed one of them. Ouch, huh? Forgiving has. I remember when my dad was dying on his deathbed in the hospital in Chesterfield, Missouri. And I worked just a few, I think about a half a mile down the road. And he was in ICU. They were trying to fix his throat. He had a throat problem like I did. And in surgery, he went into a coma. Because he was a heavy smoker and drinker, his lungs collapsed and they never expanded back out. Immediately put him on a ventilator. Immediately put him in ICU. And I was there. I went to see him every day. Even though, yeah, he abused me thousands of times. But I went and seen him every day. And I remember the first day I walked in while he was in ICU. Now, I'm not for sure it was the first day. I want to try to keep the story straight. But I remember walking in one day. Hearing the ventilators, how that pumps up and pumps down. and the heart monitors and all those different noises. Remember walking in and closing the door and looking down at the electric cord that was attached to the ventilator. And my humanly earthly response was, ha ha ha, I got you now, you son of a gun. I got you. All I have to do is unplug this thing. I would imagine there's a battery over that takes over if it's accidentally unplugged. I can't imagine that it not being. But it ran through my mind. I have you finally. And I had to battle that. I had a little devil on one shoulder and an angel on another whisper to me, go ahead. Go ahead, you got it. And I had that spiritual warfare right there in the ICU room. And I remember leaning over the hospital rail, putting my head on my hands like this, and I just started talking to him. I said, Dad, I want to tell you what you've done to me. And I went through every single thing that I could remember. I don't know how long I did that. It seemed like hours, but I'm sure it wasn't. Although I can, once I start talking, it's hard for me to shut up. But I remember telling him every single thing, every hurt. And I said, Dad, I can't deal with this. I shouldn't have to deal with this anymore. People, you can write books on it. You can go to medical school and you can tell me people can't hear you when they're in a coma. But his eyes started tearing up. His eyes were closed. But tears, he's laying back. Tears flow down the side of his face, soaked both sides of the pillows, of the pillow, while I spoke to him. And I told him, Dad, I don't know how to deal with this, but I know I have to forgive you, but not for you, because you chose to do this to me. I'm forgiving you so I can live a life without that bitterness. And I told him I loved him. Stayed in the room for a while, got up and walked out. A few days, a little while later, I don't know exactly the days on the calendar, he passed away. Now, did the weight immediately leave me? No. But was it lighter? Oh, yeah. So if you want to have the debate about forgiveness, go ahead. I love good debate. But you need to try. Because if John 10:10 is correct, if it's not, then I'm going to doubt every other verse in the Bible. Because if one piece is not right and it's lies, then I'm going to doubt all the other ones. So if he came so I can have life, and you can't have life and have it abundantly with carrying bitterness and unforgiveness. And I can pull out more verses about, hey, you will be forgiven as much as you forgive others. When I have done so much stuff against God and against other people, just in life in general, and he's forgiven me every time, then why shouldn't I try to forgive others, no matter what they've done? Is it easy? No. Is it ever complete? I don't know. Do I ever forget? No way. Not asking you to forget. I'm asking you to try to forgive. And that can go something like this. Okay, when you pray, Lord, I got to give this to you because I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me. And you know how difficult it is for me to deal with this. He knows everything. So when that comes back up, Lord, I need you to take this. I need to hand this to you. I know you can help me with it. And then see if it doesn't get easier. I now can almost, and I told the group yesterday that I was speaking to, I now can almost thank God for allowing me to live through what I live through so I can meet the people that I get to meet and help now. And boy, that didn't happen overnight. But let me tell you, forgiveness was a key. Okay, I'm going to let that marinate in you right now. We're going to take a short commercial break. I've already went a little bit long. We're going to make the full hour, TJ. So it's going to be me, the full hour. No reason to pull out music. But if we would just take a commercial break, have a question, call me at 888-627-6008, and we'll talk in a few minutes when we get back after this short commercial break. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. I have a comment, text, and it just came up a phone number, so I won't give that. But somebody texted me, and they said, "Hey, how do I know who to forgive and who not to?" That's easy. You forgive everybody. We can't pick and choose. Pick and choosing will start causing us to weigh the benefit, the lack of benefit, the likelihood or the not likelihood, the hurt and the level of pain, things, you know, all of that. And it becomes even more stressful. Well, they don't deserve it. I don't deserve forgiveness. Nobody listening to my voice right now deserves forgiveness. But if Jesus Christ came, according to that verse, to give me life and have it more abundantly, to give me light in the middle of my darkness, if that's what he came for, then I shouldn't judge who gets forgiveness and who doesn't. Because Jesus did. He said, "I am for everybody." Christmas isn't just for a few. Hate to burst anybody's bubble, but it's not just for the Baptist. It's not just for the Episcopalians. It's not just for the Pentecostals. It's not just for the atheist. It's for everybody. That's what makes that gift so awesome. And to me, as we finish up this half hour, that's what makes Christmas different than any other holiday besides Easter, because everything else is based on something that man did. Yeah, 4th of July. Hey, a lot of men and women fought for that. And we experience that freedom now. I'm not negating that or downplaying that. But this changed the entire world and the entire history pivots on the one moment in the middle of a night when Jesus Christ, as a baby, gave out his first cry as an infant when he was born. That was the difference from BC to DC. It split time. Every time you write a check, every time you write a date, you are acknowledging not just a date that a president of the United States somewhere years ago decided we would use. You're dating Jesus Christ coming to this earth. It changed everything in history. So, how do you take this holiday when it's so stressful and bring it around to where we can make it manageable? That's a good question. Been on an airplane lately? I haven't been in the last couple of weeks. December's kind of slow. I've been doing a lot of stuff webinar wise, but not traveling. You don't want to go north during these kind of months because it's you never know what kind of weather you're going to get into. But I always do. Maybe you do too. When you get on a plane, you always look in the cockpit, do you not? Just see what's going on in there. Number one, to make sure the pilots aren't sleeping. But you look at all those different gauges, all those different things, and they have to make sure that every single one of them has their attention. Why? Because if not, then somewhere mid-flight, there could be a situation. I'm going to give you eight different instruments on your life's panel that you need to have your eye on to make sure you're going to be able to go into, fly out of, and land through Christmas in a successful emotional flight. Okay, using that scenario again, this is just coming off the top of my head for those illustrations. A lot of people, and I always love probably one of my favorite Christmas songs is Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I like that. That's a good song, and it has, I don't think it even mentions Christ, but I love just the happiness of that. And when you hear that, it makes you want to go out and buy a gift or something. It just has that good feeling. But for a lot of people, it's not. For a lot of people, it's not the most wonderful time. So how do we gauge everything that happens to us in life and make sure there's not one or two that we're neglecting? And those eight instrument panel gauges are these eight. Your emotional gauge. Where are you at emotionally? Financial. Believe it or not, financial stress weighs heavy on a lot of people during Christmas. And I have a feeling that your family, your kids, would probably enjoy more time with you than they would another toy. Yeah, they like to open the presents. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we overindulge thinking that's going to make them happier. Emotional, financial, as you look down that cockpit on that big screen. Social. What are you going to go to? What are you not? Are you going to venture there or not? Are you going to accept that invite or not? How are you going to handle that when there's some people there in that side of the family that you don't get along with very well? How are you going to deal with that? Spiritual. Obviously, that's a big part, especially the Christmas season. Where are you at with that? Occupational, with jobs, the stress of that. Physical. Spent 2 days, one day with the cardiologist, and next day with the gastroenterologist, going through all kinds of stuff. And the week after Christmas, they're going to do the same thing. We got to keep an eye on our physical gauge. When there's something ticking down in you physically. Go ahead and ignore it if you want to. But I guarantee you, in your car panel, if you see that your oil light's starting to flicker on and off a little bit, you're going to stop and pull the dipstick out, are you not? I hope that on an airplane, the pilot's sitting there. And when they see, I don't even know if a plane has oil, but if they see that gauge start going down, they're going to make sure it's full before they ever get off the runway. And then in the middle of that, you also have that if it starts going down and you don't deal with it, then another gauge starts going up, and that's the temperature gauge. And when this starts going down and this one starts going up because it's getting hotter and hotter and its pressure's building up more and more with no oil in your tank, what's going to happen? You're going to blow. You're going to blow. And is that already stressful season? You need to make sure physically you have an eye on those gauges. So, emotional, financial, social, spiritual, occupational, physical, intellectual. How are you going to get through and do the things you need to do? You need to think about it. Environmental. Everything goes on in the world around us. You still got to make sure you have that all in place. Those are those eight areas we need to keep an eye on. And I want to encourage, because believe it or not, TG, I can't believe it, but we're going to go up to the time, and I haven't even started on the 3 pages yet. But I need to encourage you to prioritize, and you hear it on the show all the time with whoever we have on. We heard it a couple of weeks ago with our two friends that wrote the Blank Journal. Great book. Self-care. You got to take care of yourself. Self-care refuels you. I have right here a new journal I bought. Another new journal I bought. Another one. I have six new journals right here. I love that. It reminds me that I need to get rid of all the crud in my life, all the stress in my life. I need to organize my thoughts. I need to pour it out of me because I did it wrong for so many years. And you can do it on your phone. You can do it through voice. Just say, hey, and I won't mention the name because my phone will come up and say yes. But if you say the name, you can just say voice notes. And then it'll just dictate. But get it out of you some way. And that self-care will actually allow you to be refueled each day. Don't let it build up and get hotter and the oil being drained out because it typically goes like this. Once the oil gets lower, the temperature gets hotter. You have to be able to refuel who you are, how you're dealing with it, and be honest about it. Self-care. The things that help me and why it helps me, how it helps me. It reduces my anxiety. I have anxiety, a lot of it. It keeps me from depression. There's darkness. That comes knocking at my door. And I know who's on the other side. And that darkness is my past, is me thinking I deserve that. And there's nights I want to just open up the door and say, okay, you're right, take me and give in to it. But I literally have to mentally pull myself up, go lock the door, then bolt lock it, and then chain it, and then put boards over it and nail it like they did in Walking Dead and all of those different movies, TV shows. Night of the Living Dead and all those zombie movies to keep them out because depression will take you over if you don't recognize who's knocking and you know exactly what that is. And if you keep dwelling on it, the knocks will get louder in your head. Why? Because you're focusing on it. What you think about, what you dwell on, will control where your mind goes and where you ultimately will go emotionally, physically, spiritually, and entirely family. What you focus on is what's eventually going to grab you and take you there. So you have to say, I can't hear you. And there's nights it's just knocking, it's pounding. And no, I'm not going there. So I have to take care of myself. Write, read, breathe, relax, focus, change focus, dwell on. It also, that self-care helps me reduce my overall stress level. Just taking care of me. I can't take care of one other person until I take care of myself first. And sometimes I get that backwards. Sometimes I wear myself thin trying to help everybody else in the world and to overlook my own needs. Wrong way to do it, Greg. I'm no good to anybody else damaged, not at my peak. And I deserve to be, have a life because of Christ, to have it more abundantly. not just to make sure everybody else around me does, but for me to have it. When I have it, I can help those around me much better. I promise you that. It also just literally increases my happiness, my joy, when I dwell on making it through another day, making it through another week, another month. And I promise you, don't you all feel this way? After Christmas is done and the whole place is just wrapping paper and bows and boxes and dirty dishes, the kids are all gone. You sit down, you go, made it. Absolutely. It increases the joy. I can do it. I made it through one more. Self-care also helps me build relationships better with other people. If I don't have my act together, I'm not going to be able to have good relationships around me, because I'm bringing in dirty laundry, spoiled food emotionally, and expect an emotional meal with another person and only offer up spoiled food. Not going to be good. It affects everything. When I take care of myself, it also helps me adapt to changes. And you might as well gear up for it. Christmas, there's going to be changes. Somebody's going to call and say, oh, can't make it. Somebody's going to say the wrong thing. Well, you remember back in 82 when you did this to me? And then there it goes. Somebody's going to act wrong. Somebody in some home is going to have too much to drink. And when you have self-control and you have self-care, you're able to adapt to those changes and not be reactive. You become proactive. Different ballgame. And the last one, and then we're going to be done. You can help other people recover from their setbacks. When you have good self-care, when you prepare yourself to enter into the holiday weeks that we're getting ready to, I believe right now we're at the 12th day, 12 days of Christmas. If 14, yeah, it's 12 days. You say, wait, it's 11. Well, if you count 14 and 25, it's 12. I believe that's right. So those 12 days, it helps other people recover from their setbacks. So you need to find time for things that you enjoy in the next 11 to 12 days. Utilize ways that helps you relax. Reading. Meditating. And meditating is just taking your mind away from the things that may be negative and focusing on something good. I'm not necessarily talking about getting a yoga pose and I'm not talking about, if you do that, no problem. I'm talking about meditating. Being with, for me, with God. Focusing on Him. And every now and then, shutting my mouth and listening to Him. Instead of just asking Him for stuff all the time. I'm sure every now and then He wants to reach down and go, hey, Greg, can you be quiet for a second? And let me talk to you. And that's when I end up feeling the peace. Is when I just sit and listen to Him. Set boundaries. Never apologize for saying no. No, I can't do that this year. No, I don't think I'll be able to handle that. Protect yourself, set boundaries, guardrails around you. A guardrail keeps your vehicle from going to the drop-off. So it keeps you, if you happen to fall asleep at the wheel and you hit that, it doesn't do more damage. Set your guards and your boundaries around your life mentally and emotionally. And then I don't do this, but I try. Get enough sleep. And then laugh. Laugh. There's a Dick Van Dyke marathon going on right now that when I say, see you later, and close this computer lid, I'm turning Dick Van Dyke back on just to laugh. That takes away so much. And last thing, and I'm done. Don't let yourself or allow yourself to be isolated. When you're isolated, when you're alone, the enemy can tell you anything. And when you're alone, he's whispering like crazy. He's telling you things. Don't buy into that. That's a game that he has played all of my life, in my life, and everybody else's. Get around people that you love. People that you care for, and don't be alone. Tell you what, this may be something that only I needed to hear, that I need for me, but maybe it's something that you do too. We'll maybe pick up some of them because I only got through the first paragraph of what I wrote. Still have 2.5 more pages. We may talk about it next week a little bit, but I doubt if I complete it all, but maybe I wrote that all down for me. Now, I just need to put Greg at the top of that. Here's a letter to you. Do it, Greg. What about you? How are you going to deal with it? Want to let you know it's dark outside. It may be dark in here too. But allow the light, the true and the only one and true light of this universe, Jesus Christ, to come into you this season and allow you to experience life to the abundance that you've never experienced it before. Pray, John 10:10, every day this week. Lord, show me how to claim this promise and never forget. Never forget, no matter what, you always have hope. That's what this season's all about. Hope. Hope for us. Have an awesome week. Thanks for joining us. Be here next week. We're going to have a really special Christmas time and talking about the Christmas story and some other things that you can be doing the next couple of days right before Christmas to help you out. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Thank you for being with us tonight. Take care. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6555 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.